Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Voices from the Grid. I'm your host for this fantastic episode, the Pink Ranger, Brian Massey, and I am joined by everybody today. Let's go ahead and start with our eternal Red Ranger, Sasha Kaplan.
The one, the only, the ever snarky.
Our Blue Ranger, Michael Lindenbaum.
Howdy.
And our Black Ranger, Bob the Ninja Goldfish, also known as Ben Taylor.
Hi, it's me, your boy. I don't think I've ever been called Bob on here before.
Yeah. It's just such a great, like, screen name.
Twitch is now just taking over the Voices from the Grid podcast near the end of the season.
Yeah, it is. Thank you all for joining us, thank you all for being here. So today we're going to be talking about two episodes. It's a two-parter, and it's going to be Dark Spectre's Revenge. Let's go over a brief synopsis of this and then get into some questions, and then once I'm done with my questions, we can open it up to the floor and open up discussion. So from the Ranger Wiki, the synopsis here is Dark Spectre wants Astronomer back, and to accomplish this, he sends an asteroid on a collision course with Earth. Astronomer sneaks aboard the Dark Fortress to divert the asteroid's course, but she's captured and reverted to being evil, while a returning Zane assists the Power Rangers in destroying the asteroid with the new Zord. All right. So this was a really interesting episode. So my first question is, at the beginning of this episode, Corone is given a jumpsuit like the other Rangers, which is purple. Obviously, there is no Purple Ranger and Mega Ranger. However, would you have liked to have seen her become a Ranger here, or do you prefer how she later became a Ranger?
Lost Galaxy was so long ago, I legit remember very little from it. Mm-hmm. So I will say it would have been cool to see a Purple Ranger because I prefer the in space suits to the Wild Force suit or the Lost Galaxy suits. I mean, mm-hmm. But I don't. I'm trying to like keep the seasons like on their own without thinking about what happens later at the moment. So I think it would have been cool if they had like a purple in space suit for her because Purple Rangers, as Ben will point out, are awesome. Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would have made sense to make her a Ranger this season. It wouldn't have worked for the plot, the overall storyline for Corone and Andros of like, hey, you got her. And then all of a sudden, as we find out later on in this episode, she's turned back to evil again. It's like, so you had it for like what? Not even half an episode where she's a Ranger?
Yeah.
So it just wouldn't have worked where it does make sense in the next season for her to become one.
Mm-hmm. There, as Mike says, there is, Mike and Sasha say, there is a world where I could rebook this season and make a Purple Ranger make sense in the format that we are given. It would not make sense in the slightest. And also, I'm of the opinion that I didn't like how she became a Ranger later either. So, my answer to both of your questions is no. Which is what you were looking for. Me playing the villain. What a surprise.
My next question here is, what are your thoughts on Ecliptor getting an upgrade from Darkonda?
Was it really an upgrade?
No.
It was more of a brainwash, honestly, but...
Did it really work that effectively for Darkonda?
Look, we know that Darkonda is not always, and by not always, I mean like never the smartest villain. He's very egotistical, and as we found out throughout the course of the season, he's really out to be his own, like he wants to be the one in charge.
And happens to be possibly the ugliest looking cat we've ever seen because he has like 9 lives.
Yeah.
I think it is insulting to cats to even put him in the same sentence.
Like if Darkon is there, what's the opposite of like, go away, please.
But I think something that I pointed out throughout the course of the season is that Ecliptor's loyalties were, they were to Dark Spectre, but they really weren't his primary loyalty. Ecliptor's first loyalty was always Astronomer.
And he just wanted to be a good dad.
He did!
And he was. I mean, he was evil, but he was a great dad.
Look, just because you want your little girl to be queen of evil, it doesn't mean you can't support her, you know?
Facts.
So this whole you say upgrade.
To be fair, I used air quotes.
Yeah. What happens to Eclipthor is, and to Astronomer, could have brought up some very interesting conversations about like nature versus nurture. The whole Corona situation does naturally, but they never go into it because it was completely unintentional. Because why bother doing a plot? What did I think of the upgrade? I think his new suit is ugly as sin. I really like the sleek black with the green lines. Like a clip, like the yeah, it's they had to show give a way to show that they'd been sort of manipulated against their will, right? So they had to mess with them in a way, and making them a little bit more ugly in that way kind of works.
Yeah, because it's also, I guess, maybe not in the same sort, but it's kind of uglifying their or their it's brainwashing them. So like, you know, their inside's gonna be programmed to be ugly, so it's gonna reflect that on the outside, I guess. I don't
Yeah.
know. Yeah.
But it does serve as a good contrast because of, and I apologize if I'm getting ahead, that scene where Carone is on the in the Dark Fortress and she sees Ecliptor. That signals to her that, like, to the audience and everybody, because we haven't seen him at that point. So our reaction as an audience are very similar to Caron's, which is what the heck is going on with Ecliptor now? And so that reveal is like, and her comment of what have they done to you? I think that's her line or something along those, like, right? So
Yeah.
something is different, not just in how he looks. But obviously, you know, she knows him better than anybody else. So she's seeing something beyond the visual. Or I'm just really overthinking a very small scene, as
No,
we
I
often
think
do.
it kind of refers back into what we talk about. We talk a lot about how Darkonda just wanted to be a good dad.
Ecliptor.
Not Darkonda, Eclipta wanted to be a good dad. But we don't talk a lot about how Astronomer looked at him as a dad.
Yeah.
So if you'd seen that done to a person that you loved, then yeah, it would affect you quite poorly, wouldn't it?
Yep.
No, I completely agree. So I have a few more questions here, obviously. My next one, moving on. So with absolutely no actual physical data, no analysis, seemingly no prior knowledge or training, Professor Phenomenus blocks the commander of Nasada from leaving the base, yells the sky is falling, and suddenly the news is abuzz with word of the asteroid. What are your thoughts on his actions this episode?
Who?
Professor Farnsworth.
Yeah. Good news, everyone.
An asteroid's coming. Or something like
The sky is falling.
that.
I'm trying not to go first here.
You could tell I've been
He's
watching way too much
so
Futurama lately.
annoying.
I agree.
Like the
Like,
interesting thing that leads up
you,
into this
yeah, go ahead.
is that you have Bulk and Skull with the professor outside, and Bulk is kind of like getting, you can kind of tell that Bulk's kind of getting tired of the professor's nonsense a little bit,
Aren't we all?
because he's going like, you've been bringing us out here every night trying to see if we can find aliens, and then this just happens to be the time where it's like, okay, they didn't find aliens, but they see this asteroid coming to Earth.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, yeah, asteroid coming, possibly going to hit Earth, possibly wipe out all of humanity. But let's also talk about what the professor's, I'm not going to try to say the full name because that's a tongue twister for me. But the fact that they literally show this apocalyptic thing happening to Earth when he describes it to not just Bulk and Skull, but then again to the Nasada commander, it's like you're almost making it seem like this is the season finale. That's
Yeah.
the next episode we're recording.
Inside baseball. But yeah. Like,
Have a problem with this. Surprise, surprise. Are you legitimately telling me that, given what we know about the Power Rangers Earth and what we know about Nasada and all of the other various people around the world that are space agencies and things, not morphing one of them had a telescope pointed at space? And then it took Phenomenus to spot the asteroid.
Well, it's crazy. Like, you remember in Independence Day, the movie, the first movie, not the sequel. Like, they have like space radar in a way that is detecting some of this stuff coming in. It's like, why doesn't Nasada have something like this going, like, hey. Hey,
Meanwhile,
some asteroid just came
the
into
same
our
thing
orbit
happens with the
thing.
megaship. They are flying in this megaship that we know from previous episodes have long range sensors and various things, and the asteroid just morphing appears behind them.
Look, they were really distracted with the whole Corone thing, and the sensors were also apparently
Yes, because
distracted.
Decca can't run the sensors.
Yeah.
Decca needs to be docked in pay.
It's interesting.
You're telling me with all these observatories on Earth, you're telling me with like the Astro Mega Ship and all this stuff, and it took some dork with a telescope that he bought for $20 at Target to actually see that there was an asteroid coming to Earth.
No,
Yes, that is my
to be
point.
fair, that telescope did actually look pretty expensive.
You're right. It was about
And very
50
heavy.
bucks. The point is.
Yeah, the point is that this is a space center that
That
has the
all of
cap.
the people whose job it is to look at space weren't looking at space.
Yep.
Can we also talk about the security real quick?
What security?
How did they not notice Bulk Skull and the professor just kind of staking out in the bushes?
In all fairness, right? We have proven in previous seasons that the Sardis security is not that great because
Yeah,
Justin just
Justin.
walked in.
Yeah, just.
See, my thing is not so much that they managed to sneak in. My thing is that they actually managed to get into the rocket, launch the rocket,
My
destroy the
God.
rocket, and nobody cared or noticed.
No, but my thing is that they just literally pop out of the bushes in front of security, the security looking as they just charge after the commander because they're waiting for the commander to leave. And it's like, wait a second. Any other scenario, you would be tackled to the ground so damn fast.
You would have guns on you so fast.
Especially at a with a commander involved or ahead of
Right, but
something like that.
as we'll get into later in the season, specifically in the season finale, no one else on Earth has a gun.
No armies exist, only the Power Rangers.
I actually, thinking about it, I don't even think the police in past seasons have had guns.
Correct.
It's a kid's show.
Here's your state-issued banana. Put that in your holster. We don't have weapons here. Oh my God. While we're on about the asteroid, this one's a little more meta, I guess. But so, In Space really seems to be pulling from a lot of different shows and movies, with Ecliptor and Astronema getting very next generation-esque Borg upgrades. Resistance is futile, by the way. And there being an Armageddon-like story beat where the Rangers land on the asteroid and try to plant explosives on the planet. Now, Armageddon came out June 30th, 1998, and the first episode came out October 28th, 1998. Is that enough time, you think, for there to have been a script written, episode filmed, and put out in time, or was the similarity to Armageddon coincidence.
I think what's the time frame?
Say it again for next gen.
So no, for Armageddon.
Armageddon came out June 30th, 1998. And then this episode came out October 28th, 1998.
Probably it's not.
It's possible. But
probably not. Probably not given the type of filming schedule. But
oh, good point.
But at the same time, if they were filming at the time when maybe trailers were going out for Armageddon, I could then maybe see them maybe off of a trailer or written synopsis. Maybe they could have found a way to implement it without fully knowing what was going to happen in Armageddon. But I would say probably not, just based probably on what their filming schedule is most likely like at that time, because filming for Power Rangers was very, very different back then compared to how it is, or how it was more recently.
You say that. I'm looking up some dates right now. Can you look up a date for a movie called Deep Impact? Because
Morgan Freeman summer, was the president.
That summer there was two big meteorite movies.
I was going to say that too. That came out that
May
also 8th, came out
1998.
So it came out about a month earlier. All right. Let me look up a date right quick and get back to me.
Okay.
I will say that the idea of like an evil bad guy just sending a giant asteroid to destroy the Earth is actually, you know, more creative and smarter than what we've seen a lot of the time, especially because they keep emphasizing that the asteroid is like the same one that killed the dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Well, and not only that, but like the one thing that they did was is that it's an engineered asteroid. You know, because it's put onto a trajectory that cannot be displaced, which obviously they eventually kind of.
Well, that facilitates Caron going to the Dark Fortress to reprogram the asteroid.
But she doesn't because she gets captured. But in part two, that they are eventually able to, you know, divert it by force. But like the fact that put that element of danger going like, oh, the only true way or the best way to do it is to get on the Dark Fortress to then hack into their system and try to turn off this asteroid trajectory of Earth and direct it elsewhere. You know, it adds that little bit of element of like, oh crap. Especially the fact that the Mega Voyager's blasters did nothing to the asteroid. The bombs that they planted on the asteroid did nothing as well. So like Darkonda essentially made this like a, or Dark Spectre made this like a very indestructible asteroid, which we also know that once it goes into Earth's atmosphere, it does break down, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So how, you know, so science be damned on that part when that part kind of happened.
Not how science works.
And I don't know. I love the idea, by the way, that like they engineered it to like, oh, well, they have three Zords, so we'll just engineer this so that the three Zords don't work. But hey, here comes the Mega Winger. Like, if three Zords don't work, just add a fourth.
New Zord alert. Or new toy alert.
Hey, kids, new toys to buy. But yeah. Speaking of that, by the way.
So to go back. So now that I've been had a chance to look up my thing, you may have recalled when we recorded our Mighty Morphin season one season. So very long ago at this point, it feels. That I had a bit of an issue with this whole, well, the fans were so great about Tommy, we brought him back after the Green Candle. Green Candle originally aired in November of 93, and Return of an Old Friend aired in February of 94, which is 4 months apart. So if they were able to air the episode, receive all the letters, script and plan the return of Tommy in 4 months, they could easily have taken off a movie like Armageddon or Deep Impact.
I mean, if Street Fighter can be written in 24 hours, then someone could go see this movie in the summer and go, hey, I got an idea for an episode in the fall.
Somebody yeah. also could have known somebody in production of that movie, too, because, you know, Hollywood is a small town.
That is true.
And they were filming in L.A. at the time for Power Rangers.
That's true. They hadn't moved to New Zealand yet.
Yeah, New Zealand wasn't until, I believe, the Disney era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild Force.
Wait, no, I thought that was Ninja Storm.
So Wild Force, they started, I think they filmed there, but production completely didn't move until Ninja Storm. Because Ninja Storm, yeah. But we'll get there when we get there, if we get there.
Mm-hmm.
The point being,
yeah.
To answer your question, if they were able to receive a bunch of enough letters from people worldwide to bring back the scourge of Power Rangers, and write him back in 4 months, they could easily have parodied a movie that they saw a trailer of 6 to 8 months out.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. So I mentioned that
the letter writing campaign was complete nonsense, like I always thought it was.
Also could be.
I mean, like, it's not like, I don't know, I was a kid in 93. I never saw an address for a Saban or anything like, dear Mr. Saban, please bring back Tommy. He's cool thing. Like, I never saw, like, where to write. Hey, kids, do you want him to live or die? Write into this ad. I never saw this.
Not a hotline, and this is not Jason Todd.
I think ultimately what was probably the determining factor on Tommy coming back was not a written campaign, but they probably saw the ratings were probably some of the highest that they had, and they went, okay, we're bringing this guy back, because they saw the immediate ratings.
I would also say, Sasha, Jason's the Red Ranger, not Green Ranger.
Jason Todd.
I know.
The second Robin.
Red Hood, right?
Yeah. All right, what else you got for us, Brian?
I've only got a few more questions, and then I'm going to throw it over to y'all. The KO-35 Rebels from a few episodes ago supposedly created the Mega Winger. Granted, yes, that civilization has the power to build the Astro Mega Ship, but were they really able to build this so soon? Like, I know they moved to another planet and Zane assisted them, but still. And, like, I know that Tony Stark built this in a cave with a box of scraps, but, like, I don't know. Like, what are your thoughts on this?
They needed new toys for kids to buy.
They moved back to KO-35.
Not until after the finale, though.
No, the Rebels did. So what happened was there was an episode where they found the Rebels on another planet. Yeah. Zane and Andrus helped them along with the other Rangers. They then, after that episode, Zane went with the Rebels back to KO-35.
Yeah. Because in the finale, when they are attacked, they are on KO-35.
Ah.
Yeah. So, and in this particular episode, you don't see him on KO-35, he is coming from KO-35 with the Mega Winger.
The production facilities are
already there.
Yeah. To be fair, it was very like, it was like,
it a was not clear.
Kind of, no.
Yes. It was very badly written.
Cause like I was under the assumption that they had gotten off that planet and they went somewhere else because KO-35 was still like in danger. So,
yeah, because Dark Spectre was like, because anybody can show up to KO-35. It has no shielding technology.
Yeah, right? But the point of them leaving was to go back and take back KO-35.
Right.
That's what they did.
Okay. All right.
So that when they are invaded in the finale, they are on KO-35.
Gotcha. Okay.
And we'll get to that more later.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and I have one more question for y'all. Actually two. I'll have one more, then we'll have a Bulk and Skull question real quick. Mm-hmm. First one is, do these episodes feel like the true start of the end game leading into Countdown to Destruction?
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, because the thing is that like with Dark Honda and them, or Dark Spectre particularly doing his revenge, sending the asteroid, trying to destroy Earth, this is the lead up to And because we've already recorded these episodes, the destruction of the Zords. And literally, when we get to our episode, we see the Rangers kind of on the ropes. So this is that very first piece to that whole, or the very first step to getting to where we are to Countdown Destruction,
So
essentially.
I agree with that to a point because I think this is doing, yeah, like low-key, it's setting up that the stakes are going to be higher in the finale. But what this is also signaling is that we are sort of in a new phase of the season because we've went from cutesy Astronema, who's like evil, but like she's got some heart, to the cold, calculating, actually, Dark Spectre's little evilizer worked a little too well, and I'm going to be in charge now. And that's what sort of is leading us to this is the signal, like when that moment where Astronema is revealed with her little Borg implants, you see the mood shift and the lighting is darker. And so to me, it was like, okay, so now we're in a new phase of Astronema.
And
And this
keep
is.
in mind, what's the very next story arc that we go into in this?
Psycho Rangers?
It's not a story arc, it's a
Yeah.
one-off episode, but
No, it's a
No.
story arc.
The Psycho Rangers really aren't in, unless I'm thinking of
They
different
have like
ones. Yeah.
five
No, they have.
episodes.
It's like a whole thing where they're con like yeah, because
Oh, I'm thinking of the return.
yes, you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because here
This.
they are the main essentially villains of the arc,
All
the
right,
next
I'm going
arc
to say
because
something controversial now,
uh-oh.
and I'll bring it up again, I think,
In the finale.
in the finale.
Bend? Controversial?
I know! What a new concept!
No.
Never heard of it.
No.
All right, lay it on us.
If you had introduced the Battleizer here, and you had had the Zords damaged, stopping the meteor, you could have cut out literally every episode between this and Countdown to Destruction, and it would have told you the same story.
I don't think so because without the Psycho Rangers, that doesn't really build
The
up
Psycho
Astronema
Rangers
more.
do not play into the finale at all.
They don't, but
But
I
they do
think.
for Astronema and her building towards, because keep in mind, this
No,
was
they
also.
don't.
Yeah, it
Wait, hold
is
on.
because.
No, wait. They do in a way because the Psycho Rangers' power source comes from Dark Spectre. So cor
And
that. It's a way to signal that Astronema is bigger and badder, number one. And although they don't play a role in the finale, they show
they
that the
show.
Rangers can struggle and they
Do you
don't,
know
like,
what
well,
else
no, it's not
shows
really
that
that. It's
Astronema
more
is
about
bigger and
Astronema.
badder
No, there's
taking
what?
over Earth?
I mean, I guess if the taking over the Earth was like a longer thing,
Yeah.
maybe.
You could have cut out every single episode between now and Countdown to Destruction. Make Countdown to Destruction one episode longer, and it would tell you the exact same story. You just would never have the Psycho Rangers. The Psycho Rangers do not play into the story of the finale in any way.
It's not about the Psycho Rangers, though, in the Psycho Rangers story arc. They are the devices to build into Astronema because one of the key storylines of this run from now that she's gotten like her Borg implant thing to Countdown to Destruction is her overtaking Dark Spectre himself. She's using the Psycho Rangers as a
But she doesn't.
tool to try
The
to weaken
person
Dark
who
Spectre.
is
She
Dark.
doesn't.
We'll get to this in the
Yes.
finale,
All right. All
but
right. Let's
she's
move on.
nothing to do with the downfall of Dark Spectre.
That's
She
true,
just
and that
profits
annoys
from
me.
me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But her original plan was to be the reason for said downfall.
Doesn't matter
Right.
about her original
Yeah.
plan. If you look at is what is presented to us, the story of the finale changes in no way if you cut out everything between now and the finale.
I have a question. So maybe I was not paying as close attention as I should have been, so full disclosure. But doesn't Zane, when they're trying to stop the asteroid at the beginning of part two, doesn't Zane arrive on the Zord?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
Yes.
he arrives in the Mega Winger.
Okay, so dumb question. If he arrives in the Zord, why does it take until the end of the episode for Zane to be like, "Hey, look, I have a new Zord"?
Because there were bigger pressing matters at the
Because
time,
they
like
were
an
doing other
asteroid,
things.
but
Like,
like an
what is
asteroid
it?
tried to destroy Earth?
Right, but we see the Zord. Like,
I'm sorry, but if I'm piloting like the Megazord at this time, I'm
the
literally
bigger
trying to stop an asteroid
question.
going, hey, Zane, I'm help us. I'm not
The
going, hey, Zane, nice Zord. Hey, you want to
bigger
talk about it?
question, the bigger question is, if Astronomer had such a big crush on Zane, remember, he made her soup.
He did.
Why did she not instantly reach out to him when she became good and be like, yo, let's hook up?
A, not enough time. B, long lost
How do
brother
you mean
shenanigans.
not enough time?
There was
Let me
not enough
see.
time.
Give me one second.
I mean, he was off planet.
Look, she was
It
having an
took me
existential. Hold
5 seconds to type, hi, Zane, let's bang into my phone.
First of all, not a form of communication available in 1998. Second of all,
Beepers.
Spaceship!
she had an existential crisis, went from being a prisoner, was trying to help them find Zordon, then not help them find Zordon. Then she became good again, and then she had another existential crisis and trying to bond with her brother and making new friends. All right, not everything is about boyfriends. Boyfriends come second
Made
to
her
family.
soup.
D, get over it.
I
You
love.
wasn't good too.
I love.
He
So
made.
people cannot see this because this is audio only. But the moment that Ben said, "Hey, let's bang," I'm drinking water and I almost choke on my water because of Ben.
Yeah, nobody saw that.
But that's why I'm explaining it because
Oh my
nobody
God. I
sees
mean, I didn't
anything
even see
here.
that. But
But my
Ben, the
point
other
is,
thing is
there
like
was
it
plenty of time for her to
Miss
send him a
Ben,
message.
it
Visual reference and
wasn't
an audio
that good a
podcast.
soup.
It's
It
not.
must not have been.
She's been pining over him ever since.
Good soup.
Bigger problems. Long lost brother she thought
Okay,
was
and you're
dead.
asking why it took him so long to introduce a Zord.
Well, no, I think it's
No.
silly
You
because
can't have it both ways.
the
You
Zord's shown
can't
up
be like, oh, he's got bigger problems to worry about. You can't have it both ways, Sasha.
already there.
Someone's
It would have taken one line of dialogue.
grown.
But the point isn't Zane. The point is Andros and siblings. Not everything is about romance, man, all right? This is Power Rangers. Romance comes like tertiary, not even secondary.
Thought it was 10th on the list for a lot of things in
Oh,
Power Rangers.
speaking of finales, there's a really important. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Brian, you said you had a Bulk and Skull question. I'll wait till you ask the question because I have a note here.
I do. And it's nothing too special, but my question is, so Bulk and Skull steal an ESADA shuttle with Professor Dum Dum. And what would have happened if they actually made it into space?
Was never gonna happen.
Find out next season on Power Rangers Lost Galaxy.
Yeah, fair point. Yeah, no, that
Because
was
it.
never gonna happen.
No.
Like, none of them knows how to pilot a.
How
Some
did
of
they
them barely
even
know how
get
to
this ship
drive.
to
I
go?
know, that was my question too. I was
You
like,
click a whole
how?
bunch of buttons until something happens.
That was insane. I was just like, wait, how did they get the ship going? None of them knows how to fly a ship.
And clearly it shows.
So,
But there's an interesting note here that I have is after they crash land and they figure out they are in fact still on Earth, a monster shows up, right? And the monster starts chasing them. And a monster shouts, "Give up your finished Power Rangers," as he's chasing after Bulk and Skull and Phenomenus. To which Skull shouts, "But we're not Power Rangers." So we're talking about things that foreshadow the finale a little bit.
yeah.
So I clock that instantly.
Yeah,
Oh.
and I love how like when they think they're on an alien planet and like they find the shoe, then they find the phone booth, like the phone booth, which to those who are Gen Z or younger, a phone booth is something we used to go to and put a quarter in to make a phone call.
It's the sort of thing you used to travel through time.
That too.
This is correct.
But this wasn't that type of phone booth, unfortunately.
Most excellent.
But like when they get to the phone booth and then the professor's like, oh yeah, well I guess we are still on Earth. You can see the annoyance on Bulk and Skull when he says that. And it's like they're like, oh come on. So
They're like, we've wasted an entire season with this man.
Which most of the, which a good part of the season they weren't even shown.
Yeah.
No.
There's also a really funny line where the Rangers are like, but we're the actual Power Rangers, and the monster says something like very sarcastically, like, so nice to meet you. Like, at least he's a polite monster.
Yeah.
And it's also really nice that Bulk and Skull and the Professor get a ride back on the galaxy gliders.
Skull looked like he was about to have the ride of his life or the time of his life, because like he got on that thing like all excited. Bulk's just getting on there like holding on for dear life, and
Yep.
the professor looks like he's enjoying it, because like when they do the let's rock it,
Oh,
like
he was so into
the
it.
professor did that too
Yeah.
and everything, and it was like
He's riding it like a horsey on a carousel or something.
It's like that old like what you would used to see at like the grocery store, like the little like carousel like pony ride thing
Yep.
where it like kind of rocked up and down a little bit. The professor looked like he was riding one of those. Another
Also,
thing back from the 90s.
there's also an interesting bit here because Nassada directly contacts the Rangers in space, which goes back to Ben's point. They can contact the Rangers in space, right? On their spaceship, but they do not have the technology to detect a giant freaking asteroid heading their way. Nassada needs a new director of operations. That's all I'm gonna say. That's all I'm gonna say.
They need to realign
My
their departments.
one final thought on that is, so okay, yeah, the Nassada director clearly doesn't know what he's doing. Nobody seems to recognize this asteroid until it's like actually a threat. And you're telling me that even though this is Angel Grove and this is a fictional United States, this fictional United States also does not have like a president that has a nuclear button and is like, hey, fire a nuke at that thing now, like, or do something to blow it up. Like, there's no, like, there's nothing. Like, there's nothing.
No, they have something. It's called the
It's,
Power Rangers.
yeah.
The entire world governments have unified to try to stop this asteroid. Oh, we can just call the Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Why do we even have United Nations at this point?
Why do
Just
we
call
have
the Power
United
Rangers.
Nations in the first place?
The United Nations of Power Rangers.
The United Nations of Can't Stop It.
We have it to write out
Strongly
Jason,
worded
Zach,
letters.
and
Oh
Trini.
my God.
That's right.
There's a very important peace conference going on right now.
All right. Well, they are working with the other countries at this peace conference, 4 years later, however long they've been gone, to stop the. All right, fine.
Oh man, we have to stop that asteroid. Yeah.
Well, this was an episode. This was the
So
final.
I do have a couple of things I want to talk about.
The floor is all yours. My questions are depleted, please. The floor is all yours.
Number one, I have been quite noted across the season about ragging on Melody Perkins for some of her overacting. And I did just want to make a note that it's quite obvious that when she's not being forced to completely ham up the scenery, she's not that bad. Like the scene at the Replimat, for example, is a perfect example of that, where she's like, oh, I'm not sure if the others are going to accept me yet, this kind of thing.
Because look, Astronema is in a precarious position, and because she is the Princess of Evil, so she has been. I think it's like a case of like slight overcompensation because we know the other villains do not respect her. Divatox doesn't take her seriously at all, which we'll get to when we get to the finale.
Oh,
And so,
Rita despises her.
right, and
And
so
may I
she,
say, it's quite right for Divatox to not take her seriously.
yeah. And so it kind of makes sense that she would have to present a certain air of however you want to describe it, right? Whether because it's clearly that there was some direction given to Melody Perkins as to what they were looking for in Astronema.
Yeah.
So it's a case, I think, of she, and we know that she's not traditionally evil, right? As they've established over the course of the season. So it's interesting that, like, now that you've brought this up, what I'm seeing is an Astronema that has a very strong yet very weak position because she's essentially in charge of everything and nobody's taking her seriously. So she has to present some air of power and authority. And if that means she's got to chew some scenery, she's got to chew some scenery.
Yeah. I also don't think they knew how to do a villainess that didn't chew scenery. Because if you look at Rita, you look at Diva Tox, you look at Machina, they're all very over the top villainesses. Yeah. There's just something in this episode that made me absolutely just, it was just brilliant. It may have been an actual like shortcoming of the suit, of the monster suit, but the scene where right before Ecliptor is grabbed by the Quantrons, he's walking down a hallway, and it's this kind of walk that just makes you feel like he's this old, tired, beat up old man that just wants to go sit in a room, have a glass of whiskey, and lock out the world for a while.
Look,
And
his
it's
daughter's
completely
gone.
unintentional. I'm sure it's completely unintentional. And it's completely like something that's just a byproduct of the suit not fitting the actor properly. But just the way he's walking, it's just this stiff, completely over everything walk of just. And then the Quantron thing happens and ruins it. So I wanted to bring that up. It's completely not intentional, but it's a visual effect that I thought was quite endearing, especially with the way that we've been thinking about Ecliptor as just a dad.
I have more to say about Ecliptor as a whole that I'm going to leave when we record the finale.
Yeah.
Because there's. Man.
My last two notes are, I always like seeing the lower decks in shows, like people who are like the flight crews and things. But Quantrons are robots. Why do they need flight crews?
Why do they have suits?
Like that reminds me. That reminds me because that happened in this episode. So, Zane and Andros in episode two go on board without any additional backup, and then like they pull like that old trope where like they take down two people or two Quantrons, and they put on their suit, and he's got his like ponytail poking out the back and everything. And I'm like, hold on, wait a minute, hold on. Are they robots or are there people in what?
There's a very simple explanation.
And then my very last note for this two-parter is, I hate Elgar.
This is the correct note, but the one note that I do have is I actually really like the dialogue between Andros and Zane throughout this whole like sneaking into the fortress thing. Mostly because Andros is like, "You did what my sister?"
I mean, which is a very re proper response given how it's like, I have
My
two
best friend and my
sisters.
sister.
Yeah, and so it's like if that were to be a scenario, yeah, I would definitely have that kind of conversation with my friend if it involved my sis one of my sisters or something like that.
Especially because Zane says, I have an interest in her too. And Anderson's like, what do you have an interest?
I made her a soup.
Exactly. I was waiting for that. Thank you.
I saw what she did with that soup.
But I do think it's actually really interesting because when they get to the fortress, they don't just like, oh, we need disguises. They just kind of walk through and nobody notices at first.
Yeah, he does like a like and like they're in the middle of like that entire like I don't know floor or whatever, and there's like all these Quantrons. There's not a security camera in sight or anything, I guess, and like they're doing like a cartwheel rolls and everything, and I'm like, nobody notices the bright red Power Ranger in the middle of the freaking floor.
Right? But it's also, I do have this note here that says Andros is not okay with Zane dating his sister.
I mean, yeah. Don't worry,
But
it'll grow on you, Andros. It'll grow on you. It's okay.
I'm also kind of bummed that they do steal a couple of those like fighter jet things from the Quantrons, and we never see what happens to those flight fighter jets. Like, do they adapt some of the technology? Do they just like toss them aside and let them float around in space? Oh well.
Floating around in space as a backup vehicle.
Yeah.
You say that, but like the Zeozords are still on Earth and they never bring those up.
You are correct.
Yeah. Technically, the Dragon Zord is still underwater.
Yeah, Dragonzord was never destroyed.
Look, if we're gonna sit here and all right, I admit I'm the one that brought this up, but if we're gonna like go through like every silly thing that makes no sense in Power Rangers, we're gonna be here for the next 30 years.
Yes.
Well, I think that that's a good enough place to wrap it up, unless anybody's got anything else that they want to bring up.
Nope, I'm
Yeah,
good.
I kind of do.
Okay.
All right. We don't often advocate for episodes being longer. This could have done with another episode, I feel. To really sort of drive home some of the things. And this is the kind of writing that early Power Rangers needed more of,
Yeah.
basically, because it's well paced, it's well written, it gets the point across. And this is when you hear us talking about how sometimes Power Rangers does it right. This is an example of an example of that, quite simply put.
So Ben, what you're saying is that this should have had a third episode so that way Zane can bring up the soup thing to Corone.
Well, maybe not even that. Well, yes, obviously, but
It
it
is.
would have been nice to see the two of them interact at some point. Or as I said, if they'd had like a third episode, they could have done more with like introducing the Battleizer to get them off the ship or whatever, and damaging the Zords, and we could have then spent got rid of all the filler between now and the finale, and had like one or two more episodes to make Counter to Destruction longer and better, because boy, does it need it. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
And you would have had a really nice end to the season instead of what we got, which was two slightly rushed episodes here that were still really good, a bunch of filler in the middle that you didn't need, and then two really rushed episodes for the finale.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my final thought.
Okay. No, I get that totally. Let's see. Well, does anybody else have anything that they want to bring up?
Nope.
All right, cool. Well, let's go ahead and get the show on the road. Sasha, where can we find you on the World Wide Web?
Don't find me. I don't exist. I am just a fog in the ether of the internet. But no, you can follow me on Instagram and threads at the Jewish Comics Queen.
All right, fantastic. And Mike, where can we find you?
Everything on social media is at the Lindenbaum 75. I've done my best to streamline everything as best as possible, including for Twitch. Also go to the website txhthockey.com for the episodes for Voices from the Grid, as well as for our sister show Awesome Mania that Ben and I do. And also for Voices from the Grid social media, go to at VFTG underscore PR and click on the link tree to find out where you can listen to the episode everywhere else.
And Ben, where can we find you?
You can find me on most social media at Bob T Goldfish, and then on Twitch doing the video game thing over at 321 underscore TV.
Fantastic. And you can find me on Twitter at One Drunk Geek, and that's really the only place I'm at the moment. All right. So that being said, Ben, my friend, take it away.
Boy, howdy, it's good to review a good Power Rangers episode as opposed to a not good Power Rangers episode. That being said, we will leave you, as we always do, whenever I am involved. The words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. guys, gals, non-binary pals, those beyond that spectrum, please be excellent to each other. Howdy, all my friends.
And until our next more phenomenal episode, be sure to grab your astromorphers and dial in 335.
And may the power protect you.